Again, this is a message that I wasn't really planning to preach, but the God kind of pressed it on my heart. Every time I'll go back to what I was planning to preach, this will come along, and I'll be pondering upon this during my study. So I believe the Lord will have me to preach this tonight in Exodus 13, entitled, "With God's Deliverance Comes God's Guidance." And then later on we'll see, "With God's Guidance Comes God's Protection." And we'll see how God begins to lead them out of Egypt, and how we can parallel that with our lives and learn with some of the principles there, and how God wants to lead us in our dispensation, in our times. I believe when we look back, as 1 Corinthians chapter 10 talks about, that they were an example unto us in many ways than one. And so we look at their lives and we see, okay, we want to do this. But we look at their lives and we say, okay, we don't want to do this. And God has allowed us to see these things for our admonition, for our learning, for our growth, for our walk with Him in our time, in our dispensation. So look at Exodus 13, verse 17. Notice what the Bible says there. "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that way was near. For God said, lest peradventure," or suppose, "the people repent or change their mind when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and he will carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in the pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." Father in heaven, Lord God, we come before you now and we thank you for your guiding power, your guiding grace in our lives. We ask and pray, dear God, that you would continue to have full control of our lives, decisions, everything, Father, that we purpose and plan. We ask and pray, Lord, that you would help us through this message, know how to trust you and have you lead us freely. And help us, Lord God, not to resist your ways that we don't understand at times. Father, we ask and pray that you would speak to our hearts through this time that you dealt with and led the children of Israel, that you'd help us learn some principles for our lives through the scriptures, that we may simply be guided by your grace and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We no doubt all need the leading of God in our lives, don't we? We really need desperately for God to order our steps. We need him to direct our paths. Proverbs 16:9 says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." You know, the sovereign God can overrule our plans at any moment. He's able to do that. He's able to turn the heart of man. He's able to turn the heart of a king. We see it very clearly happen in the life of Pharaoh, don't we? That God is able to direct even the steps of a man that didn't want to hearken to the ways of God. But he does it for a purpose. And as we see, the purpose is for God's glory and for our good. Matthew Henry said, "Man may devise his way and design it, but after all, it is God that directs the steps. Man proposes, but God disposes. And in his disposal, we must submit and set ourselves to follow providence." And so here in our passage, we see the children of Israel led by God out of Egypt. And I want you to see and notice how God chose to lead them out of Egypt. First of all, we see in Exodus 13:17 that he chose to take them in the way in verse 18, to the way through the wilderness. There are two ways that will lead to Canaan from Egypt. One way was a short way. It was like a shortcut through the north of Egypt to the south land of Canaan. And it would be going through the way of the Philistines and possibly about 4 to 5 day journey. But then you had the wilderness, which took, you know, longer. It was further about. It was through the Red Sea. It would have looked like an impossible way to go. And humanly speaking, you would say, why did you choose that way? But God chose to take him that way. There are many reasons why God led them through the wilderness by the Red Sea. First of all, the Israelites were humbled and tested through the wilderness. Deuteronomy 8, 1, 2, notice what the Bible says. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. Notice verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And God not only chose to guide him in that way for a proving or a testing time, but remember, it was a token to Moses that God was in this. Remember Exodus 3:12, we saw that 3 weeks ago when Moses was kind of hesitating about his calling and he said, choose someone else, but God says, no, I'm going to choose you. And he says that it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not, verse 12, Exodus 3, certainly he said, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token or a sign unto thee, that I have sent thee when thou brought forth the people out of Egypt, and ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And so we see that it was a sign also for the calling of God in Moses' life to lead the children of Israel out to serve in a particular place. Now, there are these reasons, perhaps many other reasons, but the main reason, what we're going to look at from our text, is this: that God chose to lead them through the wilderness and not through the shortcut for a particular purpose. Notice verse 17. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure, or suppose the people repent or change their mind when they see war, and they return to Egypt. So God led the children of Israel through the land of the, if he led them through the land of the Philistines, and they see war, they see the, you know, perhaps the Philistines attacking them, they would change their mind and quickly go back to Egypt. And so we see, well, the interesting thing is they did change their mind through and through the wilderness. They murmured and said, you know, why have you brought us here to die? We'd rather go and serve the Egyptians. They forgot about the calling of God. Remember, they cried out to God and God heard their cry. They forgot about the calling of God. They forgot about how they were in bondage. They forgot many things when they came to a moment where it was simply rough and tough and hard. And so they did murmur. They did have a temptation to change their mind and go back. But the reason why God led them through the Red Sea and through the wilderness is so it won't be easy for them to go back. See, if you led them through the shortcut, it'd be easy for them to turn and go back. So we see that he led them through the impossible situation, maybe through the wilderness, a rough and hard place, for their sake. You know, many times we think about the trials that we go through in our lives and God leading us in a way where we think, why this way? But God has a greater view and a greater purpose, because he knows what we're, you know, if we go back to the old way, the destruction of that will be greater than the trial of the wilderness. You know, so we see that we learn so many things from this, but, you know, in reality, God was doing it for their sake. He was doing it for their sake. He loved them. And please note, when God leads us through the wilderness, he's doing it for our sake. Yes, it was for God's glory at the same time, to show himself strong amongst the Egyptians and also amongst the children of Israel, but it was for our sake, as we see. And I want to give you a few things from our text that will encourage you next time God leads you through the wilderness, so to speak. First of all, I want you to remember that God is sovereign. God knew that if they go through the shortcut, that they'll be faced with the Philistines. God knows what is ahead. God knows, and he knew not only what is ahead and what will take place, but God knew even their hearts, that they will, you know, be fearful and turn back, and it will be easy for them to turn back and go back to Egypt. God is sovereign. God knows all things. You know, the psalmist says, if you turn there, please, turn to the Psalm 139. 139. Have a look at verse 1. Notice David's song here. He says, O Lord, verse 1, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. You know, God knows us more than we know ourselves. Thou compasseth my path and my lying down, and acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy head upon me, thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot attain unto it. The knowledge of what? That God is sovereign, knows all things. He knows all things. And not only that, not only God is sovereign, but God is smarter. God is smarter than we are. His ways are better than our ways. And his ways are not our ways, by the way. Notice verse 17, it says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let them go, and God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Now, in our mind, we think, man, that's a shortcut. Why do we have to go through all the wilderness? And wow. What we did, 4 or 5 days journey. That's our thinking. That would have been in our human thinking. Number one, we're not sovereign. God's sovereign sees the future, and he's smarter. He knows what's coming. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows our hearts. He knows how we would react. But in our thinking, we'd say, take the shortest way, the quickest way. What's this longest, hardest, toughest way? That's in our human thinking, that's what we'd think. Maybe the children of Israel were murmuring about that. Why through this way? Why not through that way? I don't know about you, but I kind of was thinking about it the other day. And who's here always when they go, you know, grocery shopping, tries to find the closest spot right next to the door? Anyone done that? Anyone went for so long trying to find that spot round and round and round where you could have parked way over there, done your shopping and come back already, you know. You know, sometimes we think we're going to get there, we're going to pick the quickest route, the fastest, we just think, and this is in a small sense, but in a broader sense, in a spiritual sense, God is smarter than we are. He knows best. His thoughts are not our thoughts, Isaiah says, Isaiah 55, 8 to 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. And the reason why God wanted the children of Israel to go the longer way is so that they would not fall in the temptation to go back to Egypt. Taking them through the sea, or the Red Sea, and having, you know, that way made straight by the power of God, and then allowing that to cover even the enemy, would be harder for them to turn back. They had all this Red Sea. There was no way in the world they can cross over again. God made it harder for them to turn back. You know, that reminds me of 1 Corinthians 10, when even Paul parallels that chapter with what the children of Israel went through. And he says this, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There have no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God will never lead us through a trial that he won't give us the grace to endure that trial. God knows what's best for us. God knows how to keep us from just really going back to Egypt or going back to our ways, the world. As his children, God wants to guide us, and he makes, you know, that trial in such a way where he makes sure that we're able to escape. I thank God for that. God is smarter than we are. His ways are different. And many times, maybe through the trials and the testings, we may say, why God, why? And we may get an answer like Job got an answer. And then we would realize, you're right, God. You know, you're right. You know, God's sovereign, God's smarter, and God knows what we need. Amen? Though the road may be narrow, it's a benefit for us, and it's a way that leads to life. God knows what we need even for salvation. Remember, he said in Matthew 7:13, enter ye into the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and a few there be that find it. Underline that word, few. The first time I read that was in the first year of my salvation. And I thought, what? Few? Now, to me, that's prophecy. And God's ways, though they be narrow and hard, it's the best way. And it's for our, God knows it's the only way what we need. All these other ways that lead to destruction are religion, good works, the philosophy of man, you know, but the way that leads to life is through Jesus Christ. The way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh to the Father but by him. Or that's too narrow, that's narrow-minded. You ever hear people say that's too narrow-minded? You can't say that Jesus is the only way. Well, he is according to the scriptures. And it is the only way that leads to life. And God knows that we need Christ to lead to life. There's no other way. And he made it that narrow way. That one way. That one door. And then thank God through the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. God knows what we need and what we don't need. You know, sometimes you think when you go through that narrow way, you trust Christ as that your Savior, everything's going to be smooth sailing. That's when the storms began. You know, the children of Israel led out of bondage. Come on, please. You've got to understand this. Though the storms begin, it's far better than what the world and Egypt enslaves us with. I mean, come on. You've heard testimony after testimony about the scars that have left us after going into the world and dabbling with that. Oh, it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. Now, I make it a point, every single camp and majority of the people that are there that are saved from, you know, a Christian home, and I make it a point to tell them, listen, you don't need to go in the world to get a testimony. There's nothing in the world. There's nothing in Egypt. You know, what you desire, what to go, you know, this broad way, everybody's doing it. If everyone's doing it, must be good. Well, that's the deceitfulness of sin and lust. It's not good. And being where Christ is may be a narrow, hard, restricted way, but God knows what we need. God knows exactly what we need. But the Bible says that all things, in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God. to them that are called according to his purpose. All things, even, yes, the times that we're in the wilderness, even the times that we are tried, even the testing times, God knows exactly what we need and is working it good for his glory and for our good. God knows exactly what we need. And then I want you to understand this, number four, God is for us. Can I just tell you something? God is not our enemy. We ought not to kick against the pricks when God wants to take us through the wilderness. He doesn't take us through the wilderness to hurt us. He takes us through the wilderness to help us. He's not our enemy. The devil would make you feel that God is against you and he's your enemy because you're going through this testing time or this trying time, that God is sovereign and God is smarter and he knows best what you need. And the devil makes you think, oh no, God is holding back from you. Remember, that's what he did to Eve. Remember what he said to Eve? God knows from the day that you eat from this tree, you shall be as God. And you'll know from good and evil. You know, and that's what we hear today. The devil hears that God is holding back. He doesn't want us to have fun. Please. God gave Eve, hey Eve, you can eat any tree from the garden. And he even warned her that the one that is causes destruction, don't eat from that. You tell me, that's not a loving God? That from every single tree, eat from that, take that, but that one don't touch, that one there will kill you. But in our, you know, human thinking and the world's thinking, the philosophy of the devil is thinking that God loves us when he gives us what we want. Or we want what is forbidden. We want the bad stuff. But yet God is saying, hey, I'm not against you. I'm for you. I'm not doing this to really ruin your life. I'm here to help you have a life that is abundant. And many a times we think that through the wilderness, God is against us. And the testing and the trials that push upon us, they're there to simply mold us and make us into what God had planned for us. But we need to know that God is not against us, he's for us. Notice what David continues to say in Psalm 139 in verse 17. I love these two verses of Psalm 139. He says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. You know, when we sleep, God is awake and he's thinking about us. You say, how much does God think about us? What does the Bible say? More in number than the sand of the sea. Have you tried to count this much of sand? Just try, you know, who wants to take it home and count it? And let us know what you come up with. Just a handful of sand. But God says, more in number than the sand of the sea. Not a handful of sand. Now that's a lot of thinking. You know, sorry? That's a lot of sand, but that's a lot of thinking. God thinks that much about us? Man, God is mindful of us like that? Like serious? You know, that's amazing. And that psalm reminds me of Romans 8. Romans 8. Turn to Romans 8 quickly. That's even after 28. He says that all things work together for good to them that love God. Notice after that verse 28. Notice verse 31. And then he says, you know, Paul says, what shall we say to these things? Like he just really hits the nail on the head after the whole chapter. The whole chapter is just a beautiful chapter. You know, that we are in Christ, heirs, joint heirs with God. You know. But then he goes on and to say, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Notice verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Man, God spared not his own son, but delivered him up. And I think about this. I think about the nails, these nails that pierced, you know, this is probably a real big, it was probably something like this one. Something like that. You know, that went, some say went through here. Others say went through here. Regardless, we see that God spared not his own son. We saw that this, we touched a little bit on the sufferings of Christ this morning and what he went through. And what God is saying, if God has given this gift to you, if God has, you know, gone through all this to purchase you, to redeem you, I mean, how much more would he freely give you all things? How much more God wants his will to be fulfilled in your life? You know, I mean, God is for us. You know, when we get this view that God is our enemy and wants to ruin our lives, like the devil wants to, you know, really picture, or the world wants to picture, or even some churches want to picture, you know, we're really going to go backwards. Our view of God will make a difference in how we walk with God, really. God doesn't have it in for us. Everything that God does is for us and not against us, even in the chastening times of our lives. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. You know, God does it to even to the point of our lives that he does it for the purpose of restoring us to back into his will. And by the way, the safest place to be. God said to Jeremiah 29 verse 11, he said, Jeremiah, the thoughts that I think toward you are thoughts of peace and not an evil, to give you an expected end. Now, Jeremiah was in prison. What do you mean, thoughts of peace? I mean, look, I'm serving you. Look, he could have said that. But in Jeremiah 33, 3, he says, well, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. You know, God never said that we won't go through trials and temptations and in the wilderness, but God always promised to deliver us or to be there with us. Remember the disciples, when they were in a storm and Jesus was in the lower deck sleeping? They even imposed the question to Jesus and say, don't you care that we perish? I mean, if anyone cared, it's Jesus. I mean, we didn't even talk about the songs today when we sung them. They were chosen with not knowing what the message was going to be about. And yesterday I just chose this message that the Lord laid on my heart. Hey, no, not one. I mean, if we have a friend that wants to lead us and guide us, it is Jesus. If there's anyone that ever cared for us, it's Jesus. And so what do you think? What are you sleeping? No, God doesn't slumber asleep. Though in his humanity he needed sleep, but God is sovereign. He knows all things. He knows what's taken place. And he just says, where is your faith? And many a times we have our faith in the storm and not in Christ, and that would really hinder our relationship with God and cause us to doubt his love for us. And that's what the devil really wants to do. Look, I want to prove this thought that God is for us and not against us. And notice how the Lord provided direction and guidance for Israel. Turn to Exodus 13, 20. Notice how he led them along. He says in Exodus 13, verse 20, and they took their journey from Succoth, and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. First of all, he led them by a pillar of cloud. And with God's guidance comes God's protection. The pillar of cloud provided by God was a twofold protection. First of all, it was protection from the burning sun. Someone once said regarding this, the cloud was not an ordinary one, but amazing, supernatural, astonishing. In the higher part of it, it was in the form of a pillar, rising up toward the heaven. And in the lower part of it, it was more spread and covering the camp of Israel. Can you imagine that sight, you know? For besides the use of it, it was to show the way through a trackless wilderness. It was a shelter and a protection from the scorching heat of the sun in a sandy desert. So, you know, he would lead them along, but also at the same time cover them from the burning sun. So God was also leading them and also protecting them, but twofold. I said it was twofold protection, but also protecting them from the enemy. You know, there's a particular time where Pharaoh pursued the children of Israel. Notice Exodus 14, verse 19. Exodus 14, verse 19. Notice, and the angel of God went before the camp of Israel, and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Now, this is, you know, God was not only leading them, but he was protecting them while he was guiding them. And he was doing it through the angel of the Lord, used by a pillar of cloud. And I really believe that God protects us. Every one of us was speaking about this on the plane on the way back home. If God were to show us the spiritual war that's taking place, man, we'll just buckle, honestly. And we're kind of picturing it because we know that God has entrusted to us angels. I mean, you read the scriptures, you see the angels God has given us. And you can kind of see the angels fighting off the wicked angels. You know what? So we were trying to envision this. And God is showing us this through the account in the wilderness that, you know, hey, though this happened, it's happening for us in our time. But yet there are angels that are protecting us from the enemy. I mean, if God were to show you a glimpse of what's taking place in the spiritual realm, we'd buckle. We'd think, oh, man, we'd probably just, you know, shake. But God's protecting us while he guides us. And I thank God that he doesn't show us everything that's taking place. I even thank God that he doesn't show us the conniving, you know, and the planning of the enemy. He just kind of keeps us. Sometimes news may come to us and it may cause us to fear a little and trust God and cry and pray and fast, but it's healthy. But, man, to see the bigger picture of everything that takes place, forget about it. But I thank God, aren't you glad that when God guides us, he protects us? When he leads us along, he makes sure that he protects us. Notice what David said in Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. What a picture. What a picture. I don't really know the story, but I know a missionary that went to a foreign field. And they went by a boat and they landed on the sea and they had, I don't know where it was, but they had like a whole host of men with spears come and attack them. And the men just bowed their head and prayed and was just trusting in God. And then all of a sudden, after they had bowed their head, later on they looked up and they realized everyone was gone and there was no one there. Later on, one of the chiefs of the village trusted Christ as their Savior, and they asked him, posed the question, said, what happened that day? Why didn't you attack us? And he says, didn't you see? And they said, see what? Didn't you see all those soldiers round about you? And they said, we didn't see any of it. And what God showed them, they didn't see. And I wonder if that happens in our time, that God shows the enemy something that we don't see because God wants to continue to guide us. Aren't you glad that with God's guidance comes God's protection? But notice another way in which God leads his people. Number two, in a pillar of fire in verse 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and led them in the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. Now, I don't want to labor too much on this, but the parallel is this. To the Christian and in our dispensation, God's given us a few ways in which he leads us by light. First of all, it's our walk with God. Turn to 1 John, if you would. 1 John chapter 1. It's our walk with God. Have a look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the very thing that will hinder the light in our lives is unconfessed sin. I mean, if we want to be guided by light and walk with God, then we've got to make sure that we have our sins confessed before God. But another way in which God guides us, our footsteps, through the Word of God. Very famous verse, 119, Psalm 119. Have a look at Psalm 119. And verse 105. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, if anything is going to guide us in our dispensation, in our time, is not only a walk with God, but the Word of God. That the Bible promises to lighten our steps, our path, and also directeth our future things to come also. Not only the here and now, but God also wants to direct our future. Wants us to make biblical decisions. He wants to guide our footsteps now, but also wants to direct our steps for the future. The Bible says in Psalm 119, notice 130, "The entrance of thy words giveth what? Giveth light." You know, if you don't read this book and you're not in the Word of God, walking with God, there's no way in the world that you're going to be guided by God. No way in the world. If you want light and guidance, this is the very thing that will give us light and guidance. And as we walk with the Lord, we're sensitive to his Holy Spirit as he convicts us. We repent of that and we go, "Okay, yes, Lord." You know what confession is? Confession is agreeing with God about our sin. It's saying, "Yes, God, you're right." When God prompts us, we have to say, "Yes, God, okay, I'll do this." When God shows us something in our lives, we agree with him and we say, "Yes, you're right. I don't want to be stubborn about this. I need to do this. I need to go that. I need to ask for forgiveness." Whatever it is that God shows us, and we walk with God through the light of his word and through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that's light. God guiding our footsteps. You know, it's almost that word, walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, like a military term, you know how the soldiers, they would march and walk together. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but their legs are exactly the same. Thinking, man, how many hours of practice do these guys have to march like that? I mean, it's almost exactly. And I believe it's a lot of training, just the march in itself. And for us, it's going to take a lot of time to understand where God wants us to go, to walk in the Spirit. And say, "Okay, God, I want to go where you're going. I want to yoke up with you. I want to learn from you." And we just follow the footsteps of Christ. That's walking in the Spirit. God shows us something. "Okay, Lord, I want to get that fixed." God shows us something else. "Okay, God, I need to get that fixed." And as we agree with God regarding our sin, or we agree with God regarding something that he wants us to do, That's walking in the Spirit in the light of God's Word. Because not everything that we find in the Word of God, you know, like I've said this before, I don't see Janet's name in the book, amen? I want you to marry Janet. But there are principles that God has given me to know how to walk with Him, and He speaks to my heart. And He, you know, He gives me some warnings and different things. No, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to go there. And we know when we're pushing. And God knows when we're pushing something that He doesn't want for us. He lets us know. Aren't you great? Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you grateful that God shows us when we really want something that He doesn't want? That's the Holy Spirit communicating to our hearts. And we see that we don't want to quench the Spirit of God's work in our lives. To quench it is to throw a bucket of cold water over the fire of God's work in our lives. God wants to do a great and powerful work in our lives. He wants to guide us. He wants to show us His will. But you know who's the only person that can hinder that? Me. You know why the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness? And their children were able to go in the promised land because of unbelief and disobedience. Can I show you the next verse? In Exodus 13:22, and we'll close with this, but notice, He took not away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. You know, God wants to guide us all the way to the promised land, so to speak. God wants to guide us all the way home to glory. You know, it is not a bad thing to go through the wilderness when God leads you there. It's not a bad thing. It's there in the wilderness where we learn great things that we can't learn anywhere else. But God doesn't intend for us to stay in the wilderness. Please remember that. Many a times we stay in the wilderness and we won't go through the promised land because of unbelief and disobedience through the times of testing. I love this poem. I want to read it to you if I can. It's entitled, He Leads Me. He does not lead me year to year, nor even day by day, but step by step my path unfolds, my Lord directs my way. Tomorrow's plans I do not know, I only know this minute, but He still will say, this is the way, by faith now walk ye in it. Now I'm glad that it is so, today's enough to bear, and when tomorrow comes, His grace shall far exceed its care. What need to worry then, nor fret? The God who gave His Son holds all my moments in His hand and gives them one by one. Amen. God wants to direct our step. Step by step. And will not in any way take that fire out. Or take the cloud, you know, remove the cloud all the way to the promised land He was going to lead him. All the way. And God desires to lead you all the way to glory land while you live in this earth. And at times it may be through the wilderness. But God is sovereign. God knows the end from the beginning. God is smarter. His ways are better than our ways, and they're higher than our ways. And please understand, He knows what we need more than we do. And please, He is for us. He's not against us. He is for us. Amen? Let's pray.